became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. So here he is. He's hiding in the cave, and now he's got 400 people with him that are distressed, in debt, and discontent. Now, that's not the kind of company you want when you're already going through a hard time, right? You want someone that'll lift your spirits a little bit, not someone that'll come and load you down with a whole lot more. But here he is. He's in a cave, and he's in distress himself, and then he's surrounded by above 400 people that are distressed, in debt, and discontent. And if you read through this Psalm 142 with that in mind, it really brings out a lot of truths and drives things home. So in this, where David is, and David's a type of Christ often, and he is here again, and here he is, he's receiving sinners that are distressed with a sense of sin, discontent in their present state, and in debt and unable to pay their sin debts. And David's often a type of Christ. And, you know, just as all these that were in distress came to David, so you and I can go to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And whether we're distressed, in debt, or discontent, we can go to Jesus and find some help. And I'm thankful that Matthew 11 and verse 28 is in the Bible. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I've found that to be true, haven't you? I've found that when I've been in a state of distress and discontent, and when I found myself in sin debt, when I went to Jesus, he delivered me of that burden, and that's a blessing. Go with me to Psalm 57. Psalm 57. I just want to read this psalm as well, and I'm going to, we'll reference a little bit as we work through Psalm 142. Here he's praying, and again, this psalm was written while he was in the cave as he fled from Saul, and he said, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that should swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are as spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword." They were running their mouth is what they were doing. And the words that they were speaking were causing distress to David. He said, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, in the midst whereof they are fallen themselves." Here they dug a pit that they might trap David, and they themselves got trapped in the pit. Verse 7 says, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great under the heavens, and thy truth under the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." So another psalm that was written while he was in the cave. So go back with me to Psalm 142 now, and we'll just look. I want to draw out 3 points here tonight and trust that it'll be a help to you and a blessing to you. I'm thankful that the Lord knows my path. He does. He knows. And you may at times look down your path and just be absolutely overwhelmed and distressed. And this isn't good, whether it be in a church context or a personal context, a family, work, whatever. Doesn't matter what the context is, but as a child of God, you may look down what you perceive to be your pathway and think, this is not good. But God knows. God knows. He knows. You're surmising what it's going to be. God knows what it's going to be, because he knows my path and he knows your path. Notice in the first three verses of Psalm 142, we see his lament. He's lamenting here about his situation and his distress. And, you know, there's nothing wrong as a Christian lamenting. In fact, there's a whole book given to lamentation. And it's the book of Lamentations. And it's the prophet lamenting. He's lamenting the condition of his nation and the people of God. And so there's nothing wrong with lamenting, and there's nothing wrong with letting God know our lament and our cry and our concern. And we see him doing that in these three verses. I'll read it again. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. So you see there that first of all, he cried. He cried. And here's what I want to say to you. God wants to hear from you. And God wants to hear from me. And God doesn't even mind hearing from you when you're crying. He cried. And he cried unto the Lord. And, you know, sometimes we get ourselves in a place where we're, well, I've already prayed about it. Well, God's already heard. God already knows. So what's the point of me saying anything? Well, God just wants to hear from you. And God just wants to hear from me. And the psalmist said that he cried. He used his voice. I want to say to you, it was real, it was passionate, and it was earnest. He just got honest with God about where he was at and even about his feelings. Now, here's what we do. A lot of times as Christians, we try and bung it on. We put on a good, you know, good show. We put on a good show. We bung it on. But, you know, bunging it on isn't going to help you in your walk with the Lord and getting the answers and getting not only the answers but the grace you need to walk the path that he knows that you're going to take. So what you're going to have to do is you have to drop your spiritual facade, and you just have to get honest and just say, God, this is a mess. I'm distressed. I don't know where it is. My faith is failing. Just be, because at the end of the day, he already knows all of that about you. Now, I may look at you and I may say, well, she is really spiritual. Or he is really spiritual. I don't know how they're holding up like they are as they're going through that, because you bung it on. And you look really spiritual. Some of you don't. Some of you do. But we do, right? That's what we often do. But God knows that we may bung it on when we come to church and sing Happy Am I, and you ain't, right? God knows we're not. And what we need to do is we need to be willing just to be vulnerable before the Lord and open up to God. So he cried, and notice what he did. When in his crying and he's praying, it says in verse 2 that he poured out his complaint before him. You know what he did? It's just exactly what I said. He got vulnerable with God. As a pastor, you can't help some people because they won't get honest. They're not willing to be vulnerable in front of you. They come for a little bit of help, or they come wanting some counsel, and you know they're only telling you portions, and so you can only give them based on the portions that they're giving you. And you know if they were willing to be vulnerable, that you might be able to help them a little bit more. I want to say to you, the same is with God. God will only help you to the measure that you're willing to be vulnerable and honest before him. If you want to play Mr. Spiritual Giant, he'll leave you be. But if you're willing just to be vulnerable and you're willing to pour out your complaint, just pour it out. Just let it be known. Just lay it out in front of God. He already knows anyway. Just drop the pride, drop the facade, lay it out in front of God. Then God can actually do something. He can help you. He can help you. But as long as you're determined to be the stiff upper lip, you're not going to get grace with a stiff upper lip. What you'll do is you'll just get bitter and exhausted. is what you'll do. So we see he cried, he poured out his complaint, he said that he was in trouble. In Psalm 57 and verse 4, we see the trouble that he was in. He said, "My soul is among lions. I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword." He was in distress, and he was in trouble. He said in verse 3 that his spirit was overwhelmed. To be overwhelmed is to languish in darkness. It's to fail or faint under the pressure. And you know, there are times in my Christian life, more times than I want to admit, that I have fainted spiritually under the pressure. And you probably have too. David did. He just fainted under the pressure. It's just too much pressure. And he was overwhelmed. His spirit was overwhelmed within him. Says in verse 3 that there were snares laid for him, so therefore he was on high alert. You know, when you know somebody's out to get you, it puts you on high alert. But being on high alert, what that causes is it causes emotional exhaustion, mental exhaustion, and spiritual exhaustion. And you need to be really careful that you guard your emotional energy, spiritual energy, all those things. Because when, you know, you hear of soldiers coming back and they get out of, you know, they've been in war and those sort of things, and they come back into civilian life, it's really hard for them to adjust because they're so used to being on high alert. They're running on high octane. And a lot of times it's very hard for them to adjust back into society. And so it is, spiritually speaking, sometimes as well. You just need to be careful there. So he said that there was snares laid for him. He said he was brought very low in verse 6. In verse 6, he also said he was persecuted. In verse 6, he said, "They are stronger than I am." He's lamenting. In verse 6 of Psalm 142, in verse 6, he said, "They are stronger than I." He's acknowledging his weakness. And what you need to do, what you're going to have to do, is you're just going to have to acknowledge your weakness. And I'm going to have to acknowledge my weakness. And I'm going to say, I have to say to God, "I'm not strong enough for this, Lord. I can't handle this load. It's too much for me." But the thing is, when you're weak, then you are strong in him. But if you operate in your own strength, that's all you've got, your own strength. It's being weak as a Christian, finding a weakness and being weak and having no strength left, that's a good place to be. Because then you can then operate in the strength of the Lord Jesus. So he said they were stronger than he. And then he said, that he said, "Bring my soul out of prison." He felt like his soul was locked up, dried up, constrained and hindered. And there's times that I feel that way. Notice, so not only his lament in verse 1 through verse 3, but notice verse 4, his loneliness. He had over 400 people, but he was lonely. Have you ever felt that way? You got people all around you, maybe family, friends, church, but yet there's still a loneliness in your soul. I've felt that way. And here he was in a cave with over 400 people, but he said, "He looked on my right hand, and behold, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." That wasn't true, but that's how he felt. And we often get that way. I know I've been there, and no doubt you've been there. But we see, I want you to just notice his loneliness. He was lamenting. He was lonely. He was looking in the wrong directions. He wasn't looking up. Notice there, he said, "I looked on my right hand." Well, he needed to look up. You're looking to the left, you're looking to the right, you're looking in the wrong direction. You're looking inwardly, you're looking the wrong direction. You need to start looking up. Look up, you'll find your help. Your help comes from the hills. He said, "There was no man." There was no man that... He said, "Man does not understand. They don't understand what I'm going through." He said, "Refuge failed me. There was no refuge or shelter for him." And he said, "No man cared," because people don't know or understand. They also don't care. A lot of people don't care because they don't know. A lot of people don't care because they don't understand. You know, some, whether it's family or whether it's in church, some people don't care because they don't know. If they did know, they would care, right? But then there's other people, they know, but they don't care because they don't understand. They've never been through it. And therefore, their heart's not touched with what you're going through. But when you hear of somebody going through something that you've already been through yourself, you don't only understand, you also care. Because you've been through it. And here's David, surrounded by over 400 people, and he's saying, no man cares. And the reason they didn't care is that no doubt some didn't know, but some didn't understand either. They just didn't get it. And so we need to be careful about that. Psalm 69 and verse 20 says, reproach has broken my heart and I'm full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. So we see his lament and his loneliness. But in these last few verses, 5, 6 and 7, I want you to notice God's liberality. So David's lamenting, David's lonely, but off the back of that, we see God's liberality. We see his bountifulness. Notice what it says. He said, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Verse 7 says, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt, here's the word, thou shalt deal bountifully with me. That word bountifully is liberally. The psalmist knew that God would deal with him with liberality. He would be liberal in his dealings. When we think of the word liberal, it's not it has the idea of generosity. It's when mum's dishing up ice cream and she dishes it up liberally. That's the way we want it dished up. We want it dished up liberally. Don't be skint in your ice cream giving. Be liberal. And that's what David said about God. David was convinced that even though David was lamenting and David was lonely, at the end of the psalm, David said, but I know that God is going to be liberal with me. He's going to be generous with me. He's going to be good to me. And that's where we're going to find our help, is when we get our thoughts in the right place and on God. So we see that he said, go to Psalm 57 if you would please, Psalm 57, just for this point, verse 5. So in verse 5, Psalm 142, verse 5, he said, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. He said, thou art my refuge. Notice Psalm 57 and verse 1. He said, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that should swallow me up. Selah, God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. The psalmist said there at the end of verse 1, he said, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. He found liberality. He found a liberal refuge. He found God liberal in his refuge and in his protection. And he found a protection and he found a refuge under the shadow of his wings. He said that he'd be his portion in the land of the living. And he said he'd attend unto my cry. Thank God thank God that back there in Psalm 142, he said in verse 6, he said, attend unto my cry. And I'm grateful that when we cry unto the Lord as his children, when we get honest with him and we cry unto God, that he does attend unto our cry. You know, it's one thing to hear a cry, right? You hear a baby cry. Well, you don't have to attend to it. You can just listen. But God doesn't just listen. He attends to the cry. He moves towards you, moves towards me, and he responds to our cry for help. I'm grateful for that. I'm glad God's not just an idol on a shelf, but he has ears that hear, and when his children cry unto him, he does attend unto our prayer. I think the problem is sometimes we just don't cry enough. We just get the stiff upper lip, we're just going to grit our teeth, and we're just going to get through it. Well, and that, you know, that's we don't want to be sooks. But at the same time, we want to be willing to cry unto the Lord and be honest with him. And he'll attend unto our prayer. Psalm 116 and verse 7 says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. When we can recognize that God has dealt bountifully with us, we can rest. We can just find some quiet and some peace and rest in him. Now in Psalm 142 and verse 3, our text verse, and he said, thou knewest my path. You know what we're going to have to do in some places in life? We're just going to have to believe that. We know it now, and you may have already known it, but, I mean, do you believe it? Do you really believe, like verse 3 says, Psalm 142, verse 3, thou knewest my path. We're just going to have to believe it. We're just going to have to believe that God does know, and we're just going to have to trust him with it. And it's a wonderful truth. I don't know. I don't know what's happening tomorrow. I don't know what's happening next month. I don't know what's happening next year. I don't know what's happening the year after that. I don't know what's happening in my life, let alone in the church's life or your life personally. We just don't know. We do not know. I don't know what's going to happen in Australia. I don't know what's going to happen globally. I don't know what God's got in front of me health-wise. I don't know what God's got in front of me financially. I don't know. But he does. He knows. He knows. And I can find rest in the fact that he knows. I may not have all the answers, and he may not even tell me what's down there. In fact, he's not going to. Right? He often doesn't. Most of the time doesn't. We just find the next step. But there is a rest in knowing that he knows. He knows. He knows. He knows what's going to happen next week. He knows what's going to happen the week after, because he knows the path that you take. Praise the Lord for that. Job 23 and verse 10, Job said, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job knew that God knew the way that Job would take. And he knew, Job also knew, that God was taking him down that path to purify him. And he also knew when he got to the end of the path that he would come out like gold. And listen, the path of the Christian is not always easy. The path of the Christian actually is often not easy. Job's path wasn't easy. David's path wasn't easy. Paul's path wasn't easy. It's not about having an easy way. It's not about having an easy path. It's about knowing that he knows the way that we'll take. He knows. He knows. Praise God, I'm glad he does. And I'm glad if I just keep my eyes on him and rest in him, that he will deal bountifully with me and that he will deal bountifully with you. He'll be generous. God will deal liberally with you. Why? Because you're one of his children, that's why. He loves you and he's going to be generous to you and he's going to give you what you need when you need it. Amen.